Blind Cool Tech 54, July 24th, 2005. Hey y'all, how is everybody? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. It is Sunday morning, about 6 o'clock, and I'm out on the back patio where I love to come in the morning and have a cup of coffee. Got my trusty sidekick, Jake the Wonder Dog, out here with me, so if you hear him take off barking, you'll know what's going on. I hope he doesn't do all that carrying on this morning. It's a little too early and too quiet out here for that. This podcast, in case you're a new listener, covers a variety of material. We actually started out being a technology podcast, but quickly morphed into being more a podcast about just average, ordinary life for a person who happens to be blind. Any active blind person. We've covered material from sound seeing tours, which are audio descriptions of places. We've done things like simply walking down a historic street here in Louisville, Kentucky, to grocery shopping, to having dinner with us, to mowing the lawn. We like to try to provide some tips and tricks for technology and basic life. So we're glad you're joining us. And if you care to hear some of the older shows, you can go to our website at aph.org/tech/bct.htm, and there will be links with a brief description to each of the older shows. For you continuing subscribers, welcome back. We are certainly glad to have you in the circle of friends. I'm still not quite over whatever this crud is that I seem to have just picked up on Tuesday. It sure got me down, though, I will tell you that. Almost every day this week, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I would just suddenly get really tired. And, it was almost, I couldn't hold my eyes open. I was thinking back to Don Barrett's sleep apnea presentation there. There's a train going by on the tracks about a block over. You can probably hear that. In the Department of Corrections, I made a mistake yesterday as I was telling you about the power supply for the Olympus DS2, which is what I'm recording on this morning, by the way, with its built-in mic. It actually uses two AAA batteries, not two AA batteries, as I mentioned. These devices are both available currently, as far as I know, that is the Olympus DS2 and the iRiver IFP 899. I picked them up both on Wednesday at Best Buy here in Louisville. So as far as I know, both of these devices are currently available, but you know how these things are. They come and go rather quickly. One of the other nice things that I did want to mention to you about the Olympus DS2 is that it's very easy to tell if you're paused in the record mode, because what you do is press the record button again after you're recording, and you get two beeps indicating that you're paused. Plus, your monitors on the earphones go off. So that's a nice feature. Also, what I didn't mention yesterday as well is that, like the Olympus V90 and many of the other Olympus digital recorders, the unit has the ability to do time scale modification, which means that you can play it back at a higher rate of speed than normal. And this is true actually also in the new version of the iRiver. It's just not nearly as convenient to get to, and I haven't actually tested it to see how good it is. In the Olympus, you just press the play key while it's playing and it goes into its faster mode. And then you can use the fast forward and rewind for the first 5 seconds to actually increase or decrease the rate of the playback. So that's a very cool feature, and it seems to be quite good. You don't get the Donald Duck effect or anything like that. Okay, let's see what else has been happening here. Lots more email. Had a few people tell me they liked those walks to work in the morning with Jake and I. And I don't know, that one yesterday afternoon, or Friday afternoon, you may not be too crazy about that one, using the built-in mic on the iRiver. Seemed like the road noise kind of overwhelmed us at some point, so we'll have to see how that goes. I'll certainly be interested in your opinions. You know, if you'll remember, we did one with the external mic on the Olympus, going over to get lunch, and I thought that turned out pretty well. It kept out most of the extraneous noise. And then on the way home, we did the iRiver with its built-in mic. That built-in mic on the iRiver has got some odd characteristics. I'll have to play with it some more to see what I think about it. If it would work, though, that would be the ultimate inconvenience for being able to do sound seeing tours and so forth, because, you know, it has this arm strap, and you can strap it to your forearm and just press the record button and lock it, and away you go. I did record a meeting with it the other day that way, and I guess I needed to turn on the automatic gain because it had a little trouble picking up people across the room. But, you know, that may be what you want for a sound seeing tour, or just recording someone giving a presentation. Well, it has been extremely hot and humid in Louisville for the past week. They were predicting that our heat index was going to get to 110 or 111 on Friday, but that storm that came through Thursday night gave us a little bit of a respite. So it actually it wasn't bad at all walking home Friday afternoon. There was kind of a nice breeze blowing. It was hot yesterday, though, and it's very pleasant out right now this morning. One of the things I wanted to talk with you all about today is just to tell you a little bit about my garden, and I can't remember if I told you this or not. If I did, just skip ahead. I remember telling you about it on my grill cast that never actually recorded. Before I do that, though, let me finish up with the emails. Sorry, I'm a little scatterbrained this morning. We had a few offers of people to do reviews of other digital recorders and other devices, and absolutely, please do. I would love to get those. And I think most of our readers would be interested in hearing about them as well. You know, we have a unique medium here with this podcasting. We don't have to worry about duplicating tapes and getting them out in a timely manner and so forth. So, and you know, the other thing is these things are always available online. So if someone wants to do a search and they see a review of, you know, this product or that product, great. They can always come back to it a year from now or whenever. So absolutely, please do those reviews. And what you can do when you get it recorded, you can FTP it to our new FTP area, which is, the address is ftp://bct@sklar.com. www.onlinestoragesolution.com. The password, or the username, will be BCT, and the password is submit. So once you upload that, please don't forget to drop me an email at blindcooltech@gmail.com so that I will be sure and check it and move it off there and get it ready to include in a soon-to-come edition of Blind Cool Tech. So absolutely, and if you all have some suggestions of other products or different technology that you'd like to hear about, drop us a line and we'll pass that on to the listeners. I'm sure one of you out there would have some of the various equipment that other people would be interested in, and we'd like to check it out. We're just getting started with this show, and we've got a lot of other cool things out there to look at. I'm really still interested too in someone doing a good coverage of the Mobile Speak software. That's the competitor to the Tox screen reader software that runs on the Nokia Symbian phones. And I'd also be interested in some of these other phones that have the accessibility built into them. Mike, the other day from Freedom, was telling me about the Nextel phone. They're supposed to have an accessible version of that. So if any of you happen to pick one of these up, please do submit a piece for us, and we will share it with the rest of our audience. Yeah, a lot of people have... There's a few people have enjoyed hearing the walks. There's a guy sent an email in yesterday that he just retired his guide dog. And that was, I've been through that four times so far. And I know that that's a really hard thing to do. I had one of my dogs die suddenly. Well, I guess you wouldn't count that as a retirement, would you? it shook me up so badly, I really was hesitant to get another guide dog after that. He died from a thing that they call bloat in horses, where the intestine twists. So, it happened just like overnight. It was quite a shock. You don't realize how close you get to these guys until something like that happens. And like I've told people, I see this dog more than I see my kids. He's with me 24 hours a day. And we have our moments, but just like you do with your kids, right? Okay. He told me that he liked hearing about the guide dog, and he was having a little trouble with retirement because he lived in a place where the dog got bored, so he was able to put the dog with a friend of his to give him a good, happy home and a nice environment for retirement where he can be around other people and other dogs. These dogs are very social animals. I got my first dog when I was in college. I believe it was my second year of college. And he really enjoyed being around other people. It took him one or two times to learn where each of the classes was. And, I think I've mentioned this before. Once they've gone somewhere, they'll point it out to you every time they go past. So by the time I graduated from college, he was pointing out lots of places. But, they know that you're not necessarily going to go there if you hadn't been there in a while. But they just want to show it to you. There's a little prop plane. This is taken off from this Bowman Field over here, which is just a few miles from where I live. So yeah, guide dog is interesting way to go. I had a hard time deciding if I really wanted to use a guide dog or not, but one of my friends in college had one, and I just observed the way he got around with no trouble at all. So I decided to try one, and I can honestly say I've never regretted the decision. Now, obviously, the dog has embarrassed me a couple of times, and, you know, you have to be prepared for that. You have to be able to handle it. We had a thing in the last class I was at the Seeing Eye when we were telling about embarrassing and funny stories. And I guess I'll go ahead and tell you mine. This one isn't so embarrassing, but it was really kind of interesting. My daughter had a dog who was just a black lab named Hoss. Wasn't a guide dog or anything. I did think that I was going to try to train this dog at one time. We got him as a puppy, and he was a full-blood Labrador Retriever, but he turned out to either be so dumb or he outsmarted me. And I think it was actually the latter, but that's another story. Well, he got out of the yard one night, and this was about 11 o'clock at night. So I'm out here, you know, calling for him. I go out front and call for him, and he's nowhere around. So I get the harness on Freddie, who I was using at the time, and we start walking around the block, and I'm just, you know, yelling, "Hoss, come here, Hoss, come on." And we're over here on Grinstead Avenue, which is a fairly busy road, and I could hear this lady across the street coming toward me with a couple of dogs. And I yelled across the street, I said, "Hey, ma'am, you hadn't seen a dog running around out here, have you?" And she goes, "You have your dog with you." And, you know, it was all I could do to keep from looking down there and saying, "Oh, there you are." So you wonder sometimes how stupid people think blind people are. But it actually happened. And, by the way, it turned out Hoss ended up being locked up in this room I have. Well, I call it a shed, but there's an addition onto my house that's a large bedroom, and it's on a hill, so there's a door underneath it that goes to a dirt floor. It's where I keep my lawnmower and my worms and ladder and things like that. And I had gone in there to get some things out of there, and he went in behind me, and I didn't realize it, so he was in there the whole time. Anyway. Let's talk about gardening this morning, and just want to mention to you the technique that I read about in a book. I believe it was called Square Foot Gardening for doing tomatoes. I don't know how many of you grow tomatoes or not, but I have a small garden on the outer edge of my patio. With some tomatoes, and actually this year I've got eggplant and watermelon too, which I hadn't done before, and peppers and spinach and lettuce, although it's gotten too hot for the spinach and lettuce, and radishes and all that, broccoli even. But anyway, this technique I read about in this book was to take some 7-foot lengths of 1/2-inch electrical conduit, and so you use 3 of them. You put 2 of them into the ground about 1 foot deep and 7 feet apart, and then you use the elbows for the conduit to put on top of those upright poles, and then use that third pole as a crossbar between them, and then you tie a string or twine on that top crossbar and bring it down, you know, about 6 inches from the ground. And as your tomatoes grow, you train them up this string And then you also cut off the side, not the side shoots, but you know how a tomato will split into, you know, two separate areas of growth and grow like almost a whole plant there? Well, you keep those cut off and direct all its growth toward the string. So what happens is that you have support for your tomatoes, and it also has the secondary benefit of keeping the dogs out of them, because, you know, they can't reach the upper ones. So that has turned out to be, this is the second year I've done it, and it's turned out to be a great way to grow them. I actually seem to get more tomatoes that way than trying to use a cage or stakes. And the other benefit is I can put a little wind chime on that crossbar up there, and I can tell when the dogs are pulling on the tomatoes. I don't know about you guys, but my dogs have always liked the tomatoes, especially, and some of them have even liked peppers. One other thing I wanted to talk with you about this morning was composting worms. I don't know if any of you have ever tried this or not, but I started it probably 3 or 4 years ago, and I really find it an interesting way to be friendly to the environment and at the same time get some fantastic garden soil. And what you do is, I learned about this from a book called Worms Eat My Garbage. So you can't use just any kind of worm. These have to be composting worms. And it doesn't have to be an elaborate setup or anything. But what you do is take some kind of container. I actually use a large plastic bin that I just picked up at Target. And I put some holes in it and a tray under it for drainage. And then you fill it probably about a foot high with what's called bedding, which can be shredded newspaper, cardboard, you know, some kind of material like that. And it has to be moistened pretty well, not soggy or anything, but about the consistency of a sponge or so. And then what you do is you take your kitchen waste. So I have a little plastic bin beside my sink, and when we get through with leftovers or, you know, potato peelings or eggshells, just about anything except you don't want to put bones in there, and you don't want to put citrus peelings or banana peels. They don't seem to degrade too well. But instead of throwing them in the trash or, you know, putting them through the garbage disposal, you just scrape the plates off. Of course, the coffee grounds every morning are going there as well. And you just put those into that little plastic bin. And then once or twice a week, depending on the output of your kitchen waste, you go and bury this beneath the bedding in the worm container. Which, like I mentioned, I keep mine under, you know, in this shed that's under the house. Now, you have to be kind of careful because these worms can only live, I believe it's from 60 to 85 degrees. So they actually go dormant in my situation during the very cold winter months. I had kept them in my basement for the first year, but I was getting fruit flies, and you know, there are ways to avoid that. I know, you know, in this book, this woman talks about people just keeping this worm bin, you know, right in their house, under their sink or whatever. So there's ways to keep those kinds of things from happening. And, you know, and actually, one of the things she mentions, and I've found is true, that if you have a bad smell in there, then you're not doing something right. You either don't have enough bedding or many things. So the smell you get is actually a very nice one. It's the smell of, it almost smells like dirt after a rain. It's a very, I call it a clean smell. And what you get is worm castings that you add to your garden. And they're, of course, very, very good for it. And you also catch the drippings, and you can use those to water plants. Because, you know, there's a lot of moisture in your kitchen waste. And you do want to make sure that you have a drainage for that moisture. Your little wormies will drown. So what happens too then is that, you know, as this thing begins to fill up, you want to be able to empty it. And there's some elaborate worm beds that you can get with five layers on them and pay $100. But it seems like the simplest way that I've found to do this so far is to actually start putting your kitchen waste on one end of the container for a couple of weeks, and the worms will actually all migrate over to where the new stuff is, and then you can take the castings from the other end of it and then replace that with some new bedding, and then begin filling up your using that bedding and putting your kitchen waste in that end. So it's something, in fact, when I first started doing this, I was actually putting all my junk mail in there as well. I mean, I'd have to remove the little cellophane windows, but it was a good way to recycle a lot of paper. I've not been doing that as much anymore. I do put, you know, Coke cartons, pizza boxes. I have to, you know, it's better to shred them up. You don't necessarily have to. But it's amazing how much they can reduce that waste and what a good byproduct you get from them. So that's the worm story. And while we're talking about the kitchen, let me provide Larry's tip of the day. And I'm always reminded of this when I go into the dishwasher. You know, you see these signs that people can get for the dishwasher to indicate whether the dishes are clean or dirty. But it seems like the most effective way to do that is that when you empty the dishwasher, always put your little soap pellet or your powder into the door and close the door. So that's your sign that the dishes are dirty. So you've emptied it, put your soap in there, close the door. Now you don't have any doubt. If that soap thing is closed or cocked and ready to go, then you know there's dirty dishes in there and you can continue to put dirty dishes. Of course, once you use the dishwasher and clean the dishes, that door will remain open and there'll be no soap in there, so you know those are clean dishes and you can take them out and put them away. So, and it's also an accessible tip, so you don't have to worry about reading the dirty clean sign. And in fact, I really don't even know why they make the dirty clean signs. It seems like everybody should do it this way, whether they can, even if they can see. You know, it just seems such a logical way to do it, I guess, is the word. Okay, that's going to do it. This has been a short show. I mainly just wanted to touch base with you and talk about a few domestic things and catch up on some email with you and so forth. Hopefully I'll be getting over this crud very soon and can chat with you a little more. If you would like to leave an audio comment that we will play on the air, you may do so at the phone number 206-984-9203. Our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com. And our website is aph.org/tech/bct.htm. Oh, by the way, I did want to mention one other thing. I don't know if you all listen to Adam Curry Daily Source Code or not, but he's launched a new thing called the PodSafe Music Network. And he read a letter on there from a blind person that it was really kind of nasty. You know, sometimes people actually do want to do the right thing. And I think it's our responsibility not to come across as harsh and nasty. And, you know, he really said that on air. So, come on, guys. Let's try to be diplomatic about, you know, I know we all want more accessibility and we get frustrated when things happen, but, you know, in the case of this one, you know, as Adam Curry mentioned, he, you know, they already fixed it and the guy didn't have to be so nasty about it. I don't actually know who it was, although I have an idea, but, you know, I see this sometimes at the conventions even, or, you know, the situation with petting guide dogs. You know, like I've said before, if you don't want someone to pet your guide dog, that's fine. You know, it's easy to explain to them that it distracts the dog and it's not good for them. But, hey, you know, don't bite the person's head off. They don't know. You know, I've seen people, too, you know, they'll say, over this way, sir, or over this way, ma'am. And they're like, which way? I can't see. You don't have to get nasty with them. You know, these people are really just trying to help out, and let's cut these sighted folks a little slack, you guys. Okay, that's it. This has been Blind Cool Tech number 54. I'm your host, Larry Scootcon, and you all have a great one. We'll see you next time.